Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, speaking to you live from Washington, D.C. A studio here in Washington, D.C. My name is Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and welcome to the show. I invite my co-host, and let me see if I have my co-host with me, Brother Aziz. Okay, I'm certain my co-host will be on pretty soon. We will look forward to welcoming him to the show. So, again, my name is Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and again, we welcome you to our show. We're going to give the audience this evening, we're going to have a very interesting program this evening. We're going to be talking to, we're going to be talking about the Prime Minister of Kyrgyzstan, and they are going to make a business proposal that I think most of you will find very welcoming. But I am not going to be the one to make the business proposal. We have a very special guest, and that's our community leader, Imam Talib Sharif. He'll be coming on this evening with us, and he will be giving us information as to whether about the business opportunity that is presenting itself from the Prime Minister, again, of Kyrgyzstan. And so we're going to give it just a few moments, give the Imam a chance to come on, and then give our audience a chance to call in and come on, and we will be more than happy to get started with tonight's show. I do see that I have one or two of my state directors. I would like to bring them on. Sister Aisha and Sister Saisha, are you with me?
Yes, Brother
Bilal,
I'm here.
Okay, excellent. Glad to have you. And like I said, we were going to give it just a few moments. In addition to our talking about the business opportunities that we are going to hear from our Imam, we're also going to continue to hear about preparing for natural disasters. That's something that we're going to continue to talk about as often as we can, because the disasters that are going on, we need as much training and as much information as we possibly can have. So again, I am going to bring on my co-host, Brother Aziz.
Yes, Brother Bilal. Greetings, and assalamu alaikum to you, and greetings Alhamdulillah. Yes, I'm looking forward to the show tonight myself, Brother Bilal. Thank you.
Yes. The Imam, he said he was going to come on about 15 minutes after the show, and like I said, that gives everyone plenty of time to call in.
On that ring in the bathroom,
see, we our switchboard tried to like.
I can't really hear you too well, brother.
I've opened the mics up. But until you're ready to speak, please put yourself on mute, or because we can hear everything that you're saying at this point in the background. So we're asking you to try to put yourself on mute until you are ready to speak. I also want to go ahead and say hello to our other two directors, Sister Aisha, giving you a moment to greet the audience. Sister Aisha. Sister Aisha, are you with us?
Yes, good evening, everyone.
Okay.
We are.
Good evening.
We certainly are anxious to hear from Imam Sharif tonight. And until he comes on board, I just want to simply remind everyone, in a follow-up to what Brother Bilal said, we have and we must be cognizant of climate change and what it is, the impact that it is having on our society. And I constantly go back to the Maui Lahana situation and think in terms of if you have a wildfire like the one over there with extreme heat, that wildfire has baked like a loaf of bread. It has literally baked the earth, the top portion of the earth, the epicenter. And because the top portion of the earth is baked, it has also heated up and dried out the layer below that, the hypercenter. And just like a loaf of bread, if you have you put the bread in the oven, and think of the wildfire as an oven. You start getting a crust because it dries out the top portion of the bread, like the top portion of the earth. And then it begins to dry out from the extreme heat the inside of that loaf of bread. And as it dries out the top portion and the inner portion, an earthquake begins to form because of the intense heat in that lower portion or that middle part of that bread, loaf of bread, which is the second layer of the earth. The heat begins to break open the crust, and the energy starts coming out through the top crust. That's the first sign of an earthquake. And I'm not predicting that would happen, but that is the science of possibility. And when we think of the science of possibility, we have to look at all ramifications. And if there is a wildfire, then an earthquake, you're going to have severe drought. If you have a severe drought, there's also the possibility of having a mudslide. And this is kind of common sense. So every time we have a natural disaster, no matter where it is, and remember, Dora was over 800 miles away, but it impacted that island greatly. So let's not think in terms of a storm in Mississippi if you live, you know, in Tennessee, oh, it will not affect you. That's not true necessarily, because our experiences and history tells us that storms have impact over 2,000 miles away. So just like the situation in Lahana, we have to think about the future of that island in that area and how is that going to impact the rest of us. And every time there's a storm, think about that. Think about the impact on your lives. And we know that through preparedness, you can mitigate, you can lessen some of that impact on your lives. I'm not saying that preparedness will save your life. It's a possibility if you are smart enough to move, evacuate when you hear the first alert. But there are many people who cannot evacuate for various reasons, whether it's lack of mobility, whether it's lack of having transportation, they might be handicapped, but for many reasons. And those are the people that our community our faith-based groups, our organizations are going to have to pay close attention to and give them help. So we want you to be prepared. And if your organization is ready to listen to preparedness training, contact the radio station, the Black Belt Wall Street, New Africa Business Association. Contact them so we can start once again going into the community, whether it's in person or Zoom, and training hundreds and thousands of people in disaster preparedness. Because that little scenario I just mentioned about the bread, you don't get that in the standard preparedness class. So we have to identify and bring preparedness into the arena that we as a particular people understand it. That's how we become concerned and move forward. So, Brother Bilal, Brother Aziz, those are my comments for tonight.
Okay,
thank you.
For you.
Thank you.
Sister Aisha will definitely be back with you as the show go along. Let me hear our other director, Sister Aisha. We'll welcome your comments.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Sister Aisha, for that. Brother Bilal, Brother Z, thank you so much. I'm very excited about tonight's show. You know, my business is international business. And so as I've said before in the show, I travel to Africa in the middle of organizing arrangements and business contracts. And so to hear that an area outside of the continent is looking and interested, much interested in Black-owned businesses from the United States to come into their country. And this particular country is within the Asian, the Asia-European area is right below Russia. For them to have the interest of Black-owned businesses, I'm very interested to hear the what, the why, the how, and see how that can contribute to the expansion of Black-owned businesses across the world. So very excited about what's to be presented tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Sasha. We're so glad to have your comments, and we're so glad to have you on the show and your experience in international travel. Brothers and sisters, I've said so many times, and we've talked about it so many times, and that is the power of the Black dollar. And we've talked about our consumer spendings, and we know that this year is projected that our consumer spendings will go as high as $1.9 trillion. Last year, we did do $1.9 trillion is what is predicted our consumer spendings will be this year. And last year, we spent $1.4 trillion, and that was just in consumer spendings, not to include our charitable monies that goes through our churches. And predictions is that could be as high as $1 trillion. So again, we know that our Black dollar is a very powerful dollar, and we also know that if we was an independent country, our GMP would tell us that we are right around 9th or 10th richest nation. And am I right on those statistics, Sister Aisha? Because I know you've been keeping those stats along with me. Is it the 9th or 10th, or is it a smaller than that as far as our dollar?
Yes, we're looking at around the 10th. It's in between the 9th and 10th.
And
not quite the 10th, no, yeah.
Yeah, and that
we
would
could
be
an independent. We can be an independent nation, absolutely.
And see, that's what we bring. And you're absolutely right, Sister Aisha. If we was an independent nation, That's the power of the African American dollar. We are the richest Africans on the planet. Unfortunately, our monies do not circulate in our communities. It circulates in other communities. Therefore, we don't reap the benefits of the power of our dollar. So to have opportunities as to where we have the possibilities of being independent, receiving independence when it comes to the power of the African American dollar. I am not going to speculate too much longer. I see that our imam have arrived. I see he's on the station. And so without further ado, Brother Imam, I must say it is indeed my privilege, it's my pleasure to have you on our show. And, of course, brothers and sisters, this is the leader of our community. This is the reasons for the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street. So without further ado, Brother Imam, welcome to the show, and we're going to hear all of your comments from your own end. Brother Imam.
Oh, assalamu alaikum, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Well, alaikum
salam. Yes, assalamu alaikum. Alaikum salam.
Yeah, no, it's such an honor to be here. I certainly have to commend our beloved brother, Bilal Bynum, Aziz, and our dear sister, Aisha. We are grateful that they have been very consistent in bringing dynamic programming by way of this radio show, and it's been consistent. And, of course, he moves around the nation, and I've been wanting to get in for a long time, not necessarily for this piece, but just wanting to be a part of it because I know it's something that's been growing and it's something that is an imperative for us, for our destiny as a people. So, again, we extended a greeting to you all and to our listening audience, and it's an honor to be with you. And I'm here today, my dear brother Bilal Bynum. I was mentioning to him that some of you may be aware that we had planned a trip to Kazakhstan. I've been to several other stands, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, right beside each other. I was there early in the year in Kazakhstan, and we met a number of people, and it was surprising to know that they are welcoming African-American business people, and they are doing some things. They have an actual department to actually do things to help, I would say, quote-unquote, level the playing field to make it easy for us to do business with them. You know, we know there are certain additional requirements when you're doing international business in terms of tariffs and those kinds of things, but they're looking to weigh some things. Of course, they see us in the context of history and what we are doing as a people to lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps, so to speak. And so we did a series of lectures, nine series of lectures. Some of you on here may have participated, and they were specific lectures. Obviously, first speaking about the Silk Road, which we can spend the show actually really speaking about the Silk Road when we look at the history of the Silk Road. But I don't know how many are aware now. There's current talks on a new Silk Road. And, of course, that was the main route for trade in history, the main route for trade in history. And every country that was associated with that began to flourish as a result of those trade routes called the Silk Road. Well, there's a new one now. Kazakhstan is at the heart of the old one, and they're also at the heart of this new Silk Road. So we did a series of events on the Silk Road. The first one was on Silk Road, then because we went into the culture of Kazakhstan. We know many are not aware of that country. You know, it's far away from here, but, you know, it's on the globe near Russia. Obviously, they used to be a part of Russia, as did many of the what I like to call the Stan brothers, Uzbekistan, Turkestan, et cetera, because they're independent nations now. And because Kazakhstan America was the first one to recognize their independence, which is why relations are pretty good. Even traveling there, it's not difficult for Americans because of that alliance and that acknowledgement that took place back in, I think, 1991 when we came out of Russia and had their independence. And then the series got into some specific areas. You know, once we got into the Silk Road, let everybody understand the Silk Road, got into trade, the different zones of trade, the different transportations of moving products and trade, and got into the culture of the people and those kind of things. Then we got a little specific, started speaking into what are the opportunities there in Kazakhstan and some of the specific ones that we did. There are more. They're not limited to the ones that we selected, but these are some of the ones that were prominent, such as home building, factories there, real estate is one, manufacturing, agriculture, information technology, obviously investments, different types of investments, farming. Of course, they're right on the Chinese border, and, of course, being able to deal with their goods, it's some things that work out that are very unique to eliminate some costs. So those are just some of the things. So we had a trip. This presentation was really to get us set for ready for a trip that we had scheduled for September 22nd, and we were going to spend about a week in the country with business people and also others. There's been some cultural involved as well. And also, you know, there's a significant group of the Uyghurs there. Many of the listeners may be aware of the Uyghur situation in China. So we wanted to get a look up close and personal from those who were relatives of those in China who were dealing with it, because they're not too far from China there. There are other ethnic groups there that we want also, as part of our travel, to broaden our perspective on the landscape of the world. You know, we're all under one roof now. You know, we can't just limit our thinking, our perspective, as this show has been bringing out, just to America. You know, the world is bigger than America, and in fact, no one country, as we know now, is independent in a vacuum. You know, we need each other. Almighty God has strategically placed resources all around the world, and it forces us to have relations, to benefit. And because some we saw, the people who wanted resources began to just dominate the people to take the resources. We've seen that. Certainly Africa is one of those countries, and I know that's a big piece of this. And, of course, our name is in this program as well. This being the New Africa Business Association, Black Wall Street, so that term is there. We're considered to be the New Africans. This is New Africa, and it has a lot to do with when those who came from Europe, they began to establish New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico. There was an old, and then they became the new. So we're new people here, too. No people existed in human history that were called Negroes and all the other names that we know. Until the transatlantic slave trade produced us as a new people with a new mind and new thinking. Don't talk, don't think like anybody else. We think like ourselves. We're independent in that. And the more we come into our own identity and strength, and then unify upon that, then of course we'll be able to do more to come into the destiny that we have. That has been really lined up for us as a people, which is why Almighty God put us through the circumstances to cleanse us and to make us those who are denied the most, but also to position us to be able to be in a situation where we can contribute the most as well. So we have suspended the September the 22nd trip. We're going to do that trip at another time. And what's happening now, the president of Kazakhstan is coming to America between the 16th and 19th of September, which was a couple of days before we were getting ready to make travel to Kazakhstan. He's going to be at the United Nations in New York. Because of the relationship that we have established, he is interested in meeting in New York with a delegation of African-American business people, serious business people, and he's going to have his Minister of Commerce with him. If someone is serious about it, there will be follow-up. And this is one of the main reasons why I'm on the show, just to alert you to that and to see if those there are individuals in the audience or those who are in the audience know of individuals who are interested in maybe looking at the opportunities to do business internationally with Kazakhstan. So there's going to be a prep meeting or a pre-meeting by Zoom for those who are interested, which means we don't have a whole lot of time. We have about 2 weeks maybe, two maybe and a half weeks maybe, to find those people. Or if you're interested, to let us know if you're interested. And, of course, you just need to let Bilal Bynum know. What I would need from you, if you are in the audience and you're interested, or if you know someone is interested, please let them know this is what I need in prep for this meeting. I need the name of the individual, name of the company, the industry, and I need a website. And those are the things that I need. So a name of the company, the industry, and the website. So those four things. I certainly need that. I need to get that. The prep meeting is going to be coming from our resource in Kazakhstan that will be facilitating that meeting and getting us prepared to meet with the president and the minister of commerce in New York. Again, for those who can make the meeting interested in making the meeting. Again, we're looking for those who, again, have that capacity or are close to that capacity. So this is mainly what I wanted to come on for, what I was invited to come on for, put it that way, to share that and use the network to find individuals who want to look at this opportunity. And then we'll meet from wherever you are. Then, of course, the opportunity will be to travel into New York, and because there'll be everything, the logistics, everything will be designated in terms of where we'll meet at with the president of Kazakhstan and the minister of commerce. Bilal Bynum, that's mainly what I wanted to share right now. If you want to, open up for any kind of questions. Again, I'm not the expert on Kazakhstan. I've been to Kazakhstan. I'm definitely looking to go back. I'm exploring it more. I have met many of the leaders there. Seeing its beauty. Of course, the country has been around a long time. In fact, they got things they've shown that goes back, obviously to dinosaur times in that regard. But, they're thousands of years old. And they've probably seen, they're very, very diverse, even as a people. Genghis Khan has been there. He's a part of the people, the Turks. It's the mixture of Chinese, different mixture of who they are as a people right now. Of course, the country is predominantly a Muslim country, and that in itself was a challenge because being dominated by Russia, they pretty much had to hide their Muslim identity, their books. They couldn't go to place to worship. They couldn't read the Quran. And, of course, they did things to protect that. And many would be very interesting to know that even though they were dominated under Russia, who pretty much suppressed religion, that many, when the Soviet Union fell, many of them surfaced. Many of the people of Kazakhstan, and it was back in many of those who were Muslim countries prior to, surfaced, and they had produced children and young adults and adults who had, even under those conditions, memorized the entire Holy Quran, even under those conditions. And then, of course, when it fell, they began to bring their grounds out, go in their backyards, dig them up, open their walls up because they had to hide them and those kinds of things. The history is very strong. They have a very strong spiritual base as a people. In fact, the second noted source of in Islam comes from that area. You have the Quran, after the Quran, in terms of the collections of sayings and deeds of Prophet Muhammad, Sahih Bukhari, from that area as well. And because they took off with Islam in that area after the Arabs and did some dynamic things in terms of really why the world is so advanced right now. Called arithmetic and those kinds of things, and many things, algebra, geometry. The first, one of the most first calendars, the mapping out the astronomy. A lot of that came from that area, because we know algebra and such. I think all that, these are the contributions. We haven't been taught a lot of that. I know I wasn't taught any of that when I was in school. I was even taught Arabic numbers, but that is something where it came from. When you were taught that in schools here in America. Again, I don't know what they're doing now. My children, when they went to school, they weren't taught the origin of those things. as well. So that's just some brief information. But again, you've got the gist of primarily why I'm here. And it's again, to be with you, this distinguished listening audience and the supporters of this programming. That's a dynamic program. So with that, Blah Bynum, how do you want to follow up with that?
Brother Imam, I'm going up. Brother Imam and our listening audience, I am opening up all of our mics. So if you're able to hear us, we are at this point able to hear you. So if there's any questions, our mics are open and we welcome your comments.
Good evening, Ashley. How you doing? How you doing?
Alhamdulillah, pretty good. Thank you.
My name is Sasa Ali. I had introduced myself earlier. I work in international business, and so very excited about having you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us and just giving us information. And so I have a few questions, to put it lightly. Just wanted to engage in more conversation with you with these questions. The first question, and let me say, but again, you know, this is a really wonderful opportunity for us to expand the Black Wall Street, the Black business across the world, and for us to have the opportunity to get into the into Eurasia, in a sense, is definitely a wonderful opportunity. So thank you so much for being represented tonight and introducing that to us. So with the information that you just shared.
Well, I just appreciate sharing that.
Okay. So with the information that you just shared, several questions that come to mind. One, you touched on lightly the interest that the country has with Black-owned businesses. If they have shared this with you, what is the vision that Kazakhstan has with and recruiting more Black-owned businesses into the country? What is their overall vision?
Their vision, they have the fact they have an African-American business in the country now. That's considered to be first, and that's who we'll be working with as well. In fact, you can say they're honorary part of the ministry there, not officially, but honorarily they're part of the ministry because they're the ones that host our delegations. They live there in the country. They're across the country. And
what is that business? What is that business industry doing?
They are doing
Black-owned business that you're talking about.
Yeah, mainly development, real estate, and farming, and other things. So it's growing in the country. Almost everything I mentioned earlier about some of those things that are offered to us, they're doing that in the country. And, of course, then they're trying to connect other African-Americans. They're our liaison. They're our point of contact in the country to help us liaison and connect with any interest, really, that's available to us.
Okay, great. As far as meeting with the president, because you stated that the week of September 17th through the 20th or the 19th and 20th, you'll be the president of Kazaku, New York.
Through the 19th is the dates that I was given. And one of those dates, we would know which day he would meet. You know, with the African American specifically delegation.
Okay. Within that meeting, would the intention be to establish business relationships immediately in the sense of if whichever African American business owner comes to the meeting, they will be met by not only the president, but the direct person who would be responsible for establishing their business in country or facilitating the business to exist in country? Would that happen, or it would just be more of a conversation that would lead to more conversation and negotiation?
My understanding right now is he has an interest in African Americans, the success of African Americans. The dignity of African Americans. I mean, they themselves are considered a minority, too, as a people. I've mentioned kind of some of the mixture of them. They know our story. They have a story where they had to struggle to overcome oppression, too, in their history, deep history. So this one is just to connect with people who are serious in doing business. And again, the Minister of Commerce will be there. And so this would be just a first. Certainly the Minister of Commerce, and again, he will be the one who will later make the connections, the follow-on connections for whatever that interest is, to be connected to the right people. And then, of course, he will be there to facilitate any meetings, any engagement, follow-up, et cetera. So that's what will come out of this meeting. And that, and again, it really much of it depends on how prepared the business owner is that meets with him to go further. Some might not be ready. Some may be almost ready, and that can be part of the discussion in terms of what's necessary to help get them ready, and then where the next steps are. Some are already ready, so they can begin to be put in contact with the people to seize opportunities. And there are a lot of things that Uzbekistan imports from other countries, but they are willing to give us a share. They made it very clear that they don't need us, but they want us, again, because of something I just mentioned about how they see us and our dignity. So they're willing to give us a share of their imports to be able to export from our country to theirs.
Has the Minister of Commerce or the Prime Minister or the President at all have said specifically the type of industries they are looking for and that they are most in need of?
Yeah, well, I mean, they, again, you'll get a presentation there from the Commerce. I mean, this is not a meeting with those who are just interested and not prepared. I mean, they're going to be given the preview, this preview to obviously people who are business people right now, currently business people, not people who are thinking about going to business, those kind of things. That's a different situation. That'll be a different route to deal with those who are thinking about it. They can look at certain dynamics and see what they want to get into. This meeting is not necessarily for that. Although they will reveal at the meeting some of the things where they do have some needs, but as I mentioned, and them speaking about the needs, that's to say when they say their needs, these are things that they currently have relationships with others, business relationships with others, and they're willing to. There are new opportunities, new market opportunities within the country, but I'm saying that they're willing to give us a share of the business where their imports are concerned. They're willing to give us a share of that, you know, if we can respond to some of the things that they import, for instance, or export, where they have exports going various places. They're willing to offer to give us a share of that. Or if we want to go in the country and build, set up factories, the economy certainly is not as expensive as America's economy is, so we could possibly set factories up there to have things manufactured. Manufacturing is a big piece, and some companies are starting to go there just to do their manufacturing. Obviously the workforce, because the economy is not the same, you obviously save money on your production, on the manpower resources, because the wages are not the same requirement as they are that we're used to in America. So that's an opportunity for some. And we know some businesses that we're hoping that they will set up some factories in the country. You know, we think they'll be able to save some money because they'll be also closer to get their products to other countries. Now they can be in a better situation to expand their products by having them manufactured there in Kazakhstan, because they're right in the heart. They have they're the largest land mass in the area, probably thinking in the world right now in terms of connecting with other countries. And they're central. They're right in Central Asia. And so being able to move products from there and to grow your products to other areas of the world, that's a great opportunity, a great place to be. So
you're right about that. The country does border about five other countries.
Yes, exactly. And it's good that you are here too to help share your experience and your knowledge base as well. But we also have the embassy here in D.C. And they're willing to receive anyone, whether in business or not. If you're looking to just have a meeting with the ambassador there and his resources there. Obviously, they have a commerce department there as well. we'll be more than pleased to set up a meeting to get meetings set up with you and them, or we can do a group meeting for if Blau Biner wanted to facilitate getting those who are interested in just coming here just to meet with the ambassador. That's another thing. So the president, but the ambassador is going to he's always here in the country. When he's not on visit, what I'm saying, but this is his base here. So there'll be opportunities. If we miss the September, if we can't move on that day, I mean, this time is coming up. The 16th is not that far away. If someone is of the caliber, and they would meet the needs, but they just that time didn't work for them, we can still set something up. And the same kind of thing is that we expect to be an outcome from the meeting with the president in New York. We can still have those same kind of outcomes, this meeting with the ambassador here in D.C. We can set all that up.
That's wonderful. One of my last questions, and thank you so much so far for answering the questions that I have. We know that other African countries such as Ghana and Senegal and even Sierra Leone and such, in order to recruit or to bring in more Black-owned businesses into the country, they have incentivized by giving certain benefits such as citizenship and access to property and such like that. Does Kazakhstan have any incentives for Black-owned businesses outside of just the business dynamic, but anything similar to that for businesses coming into their country?
The main incentives are that they're going to look to waive some of the tariffs and other fees that other businesses who have been in this for a long time and who have been able to seize these kinds of opportunities, they'll be able to do that. That's the main incentive that would bring an antenna for African American business to want to go. So why would I want to go out with Kazakhstan? You know, and then of course where they're located, as you mentioned before, their strategic location and to be able to have your products, services, you know, close by into the other countries that they have as their border, and those that are not, but they have the transportation routes, trains and trucks, airlines, all that stuff in terms of moving products is they do have a route also to get to ships if you need the shipping by way of you know the big ships and that kind of thing. So those are opportunities there. There obviously land, like I mentioned, our one family that's there now, they've been able to have access to land as well. I haven't heard about in terms of citizenship. I don't know if that's in the equation. I'm sure there's a criteria for that if someone is interested in that. But that hasn't come up, so I can't speak to that specifically.
Okay.
That helped. I hope that helps.
That helped. It did. Thank you so much. That for those businesses that are interested in and are seriously interested in moving forward with getting more information, potentially showing coming to New York to meet the president and such, how would they contact you in order to set that up?
Yeah, Brother Bynum, those four things that I need, if you can just get through Brother Bynum and his team. He has a central email address. You can just send that to him. He'll get that to me. Well, obviously, the other thing I'm going to need telephone number so we can get back to you in email. Add that to the list of the four things just so we can communicate, be on the same page. And that you get the details. Again, this is showing how serious he is. The president of the Republic of Kazakhstan is willing to meet with the African-American business leaders, president, whatever the case might be, himself. So you will meet with him. We'll get to meet with him. And again, this gives you the respect he has for us also. So we can still go the embassy route and do the ambassador piece, have some of the same results, but obviously it's not the same thing as meeting with the president of a country, an entire country, right? You know. And because he's going to be at the United Nations, of course, they're discussing some heavy things there. And then we're going to be meeting there with him at the United Nations discussing big business. big business opportunities. And this is what this show is all about, you know, looking at where we were, what we had, what was taken from us, but what we still have that was never and cannot be taken from us, you know, to be able to bring out the essence of that, you know, to be back involved on the stage where Yahweh and God really intends for us to be. You know.
And this is, as you said, that most certainly I definitely agree with you on that. And you said that he would be, the dates are between the 9th, the 16th and 19th of September. You haven't gotten an official date yet when that meeting would be
placed. Yeah, one day between, I don't know the exact date right now. Again, he's waiting to see if we have some. He just put it out there. And that's why I'm on the show now, to see if we can respond to his invitation. This is an invitation from the president of Kazakhstan. If we don't have any that can respond, then of course we don't. It just we don't. You know, I may go meet with them, but I'd like to have a delegation of business people. I know we have some, but you know, I would hope that some would be interested in just to that are capable that can see, just go see look at the opportunity. You know, they may be to seize it. They may not be something for them, but they're equipped enough that they're maybe doing internationally, not doing international. But these are opportunities to begin to look at things and begin to broaden and look at what can be, what is possible. You know, obviously, if this is one country that has an invitation, the more we unify ourselves, begin to believe more in ourselves, in quality and trust, more we'll do just what this president is doing, requesting meetings with us. We're a market. You know, Biden was mentioning the statistics about how much money we have as a people. I think it was either you or Sister Aisha was mentioning the size that we have with our income in terms of the size of other countries. You know, so we are a market in ourselves. And just like they go to other markets, you know, to help facilitate. I mean, this is international. You know, people, this is how God had put it so we can begin to benefit and engage with others to continue to grow our life, to grow our families, to grow our society. Etc. Build upon heavy relationships and begin to learn more from each other and benefit from each other. So this is.
Sticking
to the 19th, it'll be one of those days. If we have a delegation, obviously the September 5th meeting will be the one where we get the names, and because those names, he'll get those names in advance. If we have enough September 5th. Is when we're going to have a pre-meeting with those who, and I would need all of that information to Bilal Bynum and his team before then, so we can get ready for the meeting. I need to let them know we have enough for the pre-meeting, and then after that pre-meeting, then of course the names will go forth to the president's staff, and he'll be prepared to meet with the folks. And of course, if something happens, somebody intends to make it, and then something happens they can't make it, their name will still be with the president, and so at a later time, you know, he would remember that person was on the list. His staff would have that list, and in fact, the embassy would probably get that same list as well. Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right, brother.
You're welcome.
The floor is open for anyone else who wants to ask questions. But thank you so much, man, for that.
Brothers and sisters, our mics are open to everybody. I would ask you, though, to please keep yourself on mute until you're ready to speak. And remember, we have until 9 o'clock, so everyone will get a chance to speak. So, but our mics are going to be open at all times so we can share information with each other. I would like to ask, though, is one of our other directors out of Florida. Brother Sam Harris, are you with us? Brother Sam Harris out of Florida, Tampa Bay area, are you with us? Okay, well, he may come on. He said that I know he was rather busy, but he was looking forward to meeting you this evening, Brother Imam, and he's definitely interested in this business venture that we're looking into. Brothers and sisters, I can't emphasize enough, once the Imam told me that the Prime Minister, the President of the country, I know we've met with many embassies and what have you, but to have a represent his country to the entire world. But even as important as that may be, Hill is requesting that he meet with African-American businessmen. I think that is a lot of respect, and I take it to be very serious. And that's why we're on this call this evening with Imam Talib Sharif. So, again, our mics are open. I have questions, but I am going to defer my questions to allow all of you to ask your questions. Our mics are open, and we welcome your questions or your comments. Our mics are open.
Yeah, I have a question. My name is Usman Dlani.
Is this Brother Usman?
Yes.
Brother Imam, I want to introduce Brother Usman. As one of our African brothers, he's an engineer. He's one of our directors, too, out of Michigan. But, Brother Umar, welcome to the show. Your question to the Imam Talib Sharif, go right ahead, please.
Yes. What's his name again?
Imam Talib Sharif.
Well, Talib Sharif.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Sharif, my name is Usman Dlani, and I am originally from Sierra Leone, but I've been here for a while. I really may not have a direct interest in doing anything in Kyrgyzstan, but I'm working with trying to lease with African-American brothers or businesses for a possible venture in Africa. But I would like for me to be, to just maybe meet with him, and probably if you all are going, for me to visit, so that, you know, ideas can always spring up from some kind of meetings. You never know where ideas may come from. And I had a company that was established a long time ago in 2006, but it was established here and also in Sierra Leone. But I have just maybe rejuvenated the entity here. I don't have a website yet. I'm working on it. But I would be interested in really joining my brothers for us to be able to go and see and maybe learn something about how we can be able to take some ideas from what is happening over there that we can apply to our, the African relationship we are trying to nurture.
Alhamdulillah. Brother Usman Dlani?
Yes, Usman Dlani, yes.
Alhamdulillah. No, it's a honor. I mean, if my dear brother allowed me to mention you, someone that we should know from the motherland, it's an honor for me to hear your voice. I look forward to someday being able to see you and to give you a brotherly embrace. Your concern or what you stated is certainly an interest of ours. Today's program, again, I'm here dealing with the Kazakhstan, but as Brother Bynum knows, I do a lot of travel, and I have taken delegations to Africa, and we're looking to do much more in Africa. So if you can help facilitate some of that, that's certainly of ours. One of the things, and you mentioned this also, with Kazakhstan, we're also looking to be able to do things because of their location. It's in some respects being able to execute business from Kazakhstan, even as far down as Africa, is possible.
Yes.
That there can be a significant savings for us. We can still do business even with motherland through that country. And I think that fits into your question that, are there some opportunities we can go there and meet with them and look at what are some of those opportunities, some things that we can do to help, to do and to engage, to have relationships, to build relationships, or to strengthen relationships I'm saying the motherland, Africa, which is that's in our soul. That's a desire in our soul, deep in our soul, to be able to do business with our brothers and sisters in Africa. So you certainly have touched something that's very special to us, very important to us, and I look forward to at some point having further conversation with you and also to meet you at some point. So you say you're in Michigan? Did you mention Michigan?
Yes, I'm in Detroit, Michigan. I've been in Detroit for over 50 years, okay. And so I live here, yes.
Okay, yeah, we have relationships there, and I'd probably be coming there in the next 6 months. And so if I don't get to see you somewhere else, and maybe I can meet you physically there. But I look forward to hearing or following up more soon on
yes.
your thoughts are really just going direct from here to the motherland. But also, that's something we can explore. I didn't explore too much, but I do know from some of our conversations with them, there are some things that we can do. I don't have the specific ones, but they just mentioned in terms of goods and services being able to be to Africa, there are avenues that can present a saving to the business person doing business from Kazakhstan to other world.
Yes,
yes,
definitely.
So thank you.
And because like our brother Father Malcolm said, we have to do this thing by all means necessary. And,
yes.
And definitely, I can see how we can be able for all to tap into resources everywhere. You know,
yes.
Hey,
yes.
Cuba, Pakistan, and stuff like that. If you don't mind, I can take your number and I give you mine as well.
Yes. So my number can exchange the numbers, and I look forward to following up with you. But I want to say this too. You say you're originally from Sierra Leone.
Yes, Sierra Leone. Yes.
Yeah, I wanna say my wife just both of us have just taken the ancestry,
okay.
And my wife has 90 plus. A very high 90 percentage on her father's side from Sierra Leone. Yeah, so we're going to be taking her ancestry certificate to the embassy and trying to establish relationships to go there. In fact, one of our African Americans here did the same thing. And of course, I don't know if you heard of him. I don't know if he's been on the program or not, but he had the program. We're going to need to get him on this program here. Our brother Waleed. He is also, his ancestry is Sierra Leone. So he went, and then because he's a business person, he's doing international business. He has about 20 plus restaurants, many of them now globally. But Sierra Leone has made him an ambassador of goodwill or something like that. So he's helping to create opportunities with Africa and African Americans as well. So you certainly will need to meet him. Also,
yeah, I've heard about him, and I tried to contact him, but he said I should liaise with his wife. So he gave me the wife's contact number, and I've not spoken to the wife yet. Neither have I spoken to him himself or to the wife. But yes, I know about him, and I know what he's doing. And and there are so many things I have been trying for me to do in Africa, and this is something that I was thinking about building this kind of alliance about 20 years ago. I took some African American politicians from Detroit, on several occasions. So this is something that I'm very passionate about. And whatever I can do for me to really make this a reality, I can do whatever it needs to be done.
Excellent, Brother Usman. Excellent. Yeah, I definitely look forward to connecting with you and exploring more together and benefiting from your knowledge of the area and more things. And after to travel with you, I definitely want to travel with you also. I will be with Ambassador Waleed Shamsuddin at a program coming up, and I will mention you to him also.
Okay.
Biden will connect us with information. So I may call you while I'm with him to have you speak with him.
No problem.
If it works
right.
out.
I appreciate
yeah.
that. Okay, thank
brother,
you very much.
You're welcome. No, and thank you.
Brother, I also want to mention Sister Saisha that you was just talking with. she works directly with Brother Sam Sabine and that organization. She's been over to Africa working directly with them. So we have direct connections, and we have working relationships directly with the organization. And like I said, Sister Saisha is someone that that's our international, but our Africa, as far as we're concerned, our ambassador is the Sister Saisha. We go through her, and we can go directly to the ambassador and many of the activities that are being proposed in Africa. So, and of course, you will get to know her and her mother, Sister Aisha, as we continue to work together. I want to continue.
Her mother, Sister Aisha, that's her mother?
Yes. Yes.
You got it?
Oh wow! I tell you, that's something. That is really something.
And thank you so much, Brother Bilal, for saying that, for making that connection. And we even have even more connections, even further than that, in the industry. So definitely would like to speak to you, you know, outside of the show, just to make sure that those connections are affirmed and you see how deep their relationship is. But just like Brother Bynum said, I definitely have a personal connection with Ambassador Sam Sabine.
Yes.
Like he said, I was just in Sierra Leone doing business. I have a business partner who is making some monumental gains as far as the business in Sierra Leone and in Senegal because of the connection with the ambassador. And so with these same connections, actually, he has his own investment fund that he works directly with Black-owned businesses for this purpose. And so he would definitely be interested and potentially meeting with the president of Kazakhstan. That was something that has already been discussed by us. And so we also have connections with other businesses that would be interested in making that, making those connections as well. So, yes, this is hence the reason for my in-depth question, trying to get as much information as possible, because the opportunity is abundant and the opportunity is interesting and lucrative, and we definitely want to see how far we can go with what we have right now. But definitely make those connections. And on a personal level, just like your wife, my mother and I, we are direct descendants of the Gullah. On my mother's side, my grandmother, great-grandmother, grandfather, direct descendants of the Gullah, which, as you know, are direct descendants of Sierra Leoneans. So we have that as well.
Yeah, so we family. We family. I found some of my
family. We family, certainly.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah, no, that's a good thing. Good to hear. And of course, the ambassador, of course, with the restaurants, of course, they did mention that they welcome our restaurants. They love American restaurants, and they welcome those in the country. And they, don't think he has one there now, but that's something to explore as well.
It really is.
So we look forward to hearing more on that side. We just applaud you and how deep your history is with him, and then also kind of work that you've been doing. And of course, I've met your mother briefly to learn more about her in-depth, her breadth of experience at the continent and precious gems and those kinds of things. And in fact, I need to get back with her. I hope she don't beat me too bad now, but I've been meaning to get back on the emergency preparedness stuff. In fact, we just had a situation here in D.C. As well. But I need to follow up with her soon. Aisha, you are on the phone, so I need to follow back up with you soon. You heard about the situation that took place here last Friday?
Sister Aisha.
She's been traveling lately, so her connection might be not as reliable as usual. But she's traveling from different cities right now.
I'll follow up with her.
Imam Sharif, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now? This is Sister Aisha. Thank you so much for being here tonight. And this is very fortuitous in the sense that, and I hadn't told Sajda and nor Imam Bilal Bynum, but our family recently pulled me into or insisted that I take on this project for the family. And the family is involved with Rural Cotton. And we presently have almost 150,000 pounds, which is 300 bales, and you know how large a bale is, of cotton, raw cotton, sitting in our temperature-regulated storage facility in Yazoo County, Mississippi. We're trying to decide, in the past, we have dealt with brokers, okay, to sell our cotton, right? And now with the cotton prices and fluctuation and whatnot, we can't do that, and we don't want to do that. And so they insisted that I get back in international trade long enough to, for us to make a decision about the direction for our cotton. Now, I know that Kazakhstan imports cotton from both what, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and China. So there is a need for the product in that country. But since we are a one farm, and although we are quite a large size, are we large enough with our production to participate in a venture like this? Because we are looking for a buyer, and we can pretty much have many terms involved, whether it's FOB, CIF, or whatever. Are we large enough to participate in this project? What do you think?
That's quite a bit. And, of course, you have the capacity to produce more of that. You know, just the fact that you have that right now, 150,000 pounds now. Obviously, if people are doing trade with it, well, we know there's a need for it in the world. But the capacity, and that's been a challenge with some of the other connections that I've been able to make. A lot of the ones in America, they didn't have the capacity to meet the demands in other countries. You actually mentioned an example that they gave us. That, you know, for instance, you say they import cotton from Pakistan, Bangladesh, and China, right?
China. Mm-hmm.
They gave us an example like that to say that, you know, we don't need that because we get it from here, but we're willing to cut some of that back and give you some of it, you know, import some. So those are examples they gave us because they want to do business with us. They don't have to on a lot of things because you say they found resources. I mean, that's how it works, right? You go find someone that can supply your needs, and you start doing things. But now we're a new market, and because we create a new relationship, and they want to have a relationship with us, which is a good thing. It is possible. And these are some of the things, obviously, being able to export it from America there, obviously, you know, the expense involved in that, which obviously those other countries you mentioned, they're very close in proximity. So some of that's going to be eliminated. So in terms of what are some of the things, this is one of the questions to ask them. For instance, you have something that they also import from other countries. And they mentioned that they're willing to do some things to level the playing field. What are some of those things that can we do, for instance, with a product like cotton, where we have this much and we have a capacity to continue to produce that level? That's a question that we can ask them. Is this one of the areas that they can do something? What are they willing to level the playing field by doing business with us, although we do know with the distance and the type of shipping, it may create some additional expense. It may be the prices may be higher because there's some things they have to do. Because you really can probably do things because they would, you know, China, Bangladesh, and Pakistan won't need no ship, won't need a plane. They can just put it on a truck and or train, you know, and to get it to them. Those are questions. That's another example for those who have a market to try to want to get some understanding of how can we leverage. Is there a potential? Is there a possibility? Or is there an opportunity? You know, what can you do? So others on here right now who are listening now can look at that example of what we're talking about that they can look at to see. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll certainly get you that information that you requested. And let's see, because we are trying to decide as a family group, are we going to continue in the cotton business or are we going to close down this business? And many black farmers are asking themselves the same question. And of course, we want to get rid of our cotton quickly. So this is good, and it's very timely. And thank you so much for coming on board with us
yes,
tonight.
Yes, I know. Honored to be here. And again, just to get an example, went to South Africa. I don't know if I tell you about this trip or not, but we had like 12 opportunities with South Africa to do business. And again, I'm the ma'am here. I mean, I got a business major, but business was what I wanted to do. But obviously, being a ma'am here puts me in a different role because that's what I do full time. But I'm engaged in a lot of interfaith, international peace building. But I always look for opportunities. So we had a delegation go to South Africa, and just to get an example of what I'm talking about. South Africa had something. Two or three of the opportunities were dealing with agriculture and farming. In fact, one of them was that President Obama had lifted the AGOA agreement. You all mean more about this time, and on chicken.
Mm-hmm.
On chicken, we used to do the dumping. We used to dump the chicken that South Africa really didn't want, and we would keep the prime stuff. You know, that everybody want to have football wings and stuff like that. And we wouldn't allow that to be exported from the country to South Africa. So anyway, Obama lifted that, gave him a window, you know, to get some things going. And I was having some relations with him. And for the Muslims on here, what I didn't know is that South Africa, 80% of their poultry is halal, you know, the highest standard.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But obviously they were dealing with other countries closer to them. But they wanted to get it from America. Now, this is another thing that may deal even with the cotton. They get it from other places, but they may want the product to come from America. You know, just so they gave us a guaranteed deal of 60,000 millitons of halal chicken, and they said this was specific to the African American Muslim community. If they can do that, we had a guaranteed deal. I had set everything up well. The two of them to come to America to get the temporary visa to come. We were going to come in D.C. We were going to do some stuff that we were going to go. But the deal failed because the African-American company, really, the bottom line is they couldn't produce that capacity and lost that opportunity. Another one was they said, look, we import corn. And again, they say the same thing Kazakhstan said. You know, we don't need you, but because we have a relationship with you and we like you, we'll give you, if you all can export 140 tons of corn. This is real. This is all real stuff from America to South Africa. So my challenge was to come back and, you know, find the farmers and then also, you know, obviously the biggest deal for the farmers is their production contract, which we were getting ready to get to that. But I couldn't find, again, I just kind of opened up the opportunity, but I didn't, you know, seize it and close. What on me to close the deal. The companies that we gave it to, the individuals put in contact with it, they couldn't close the deal. But I wanted to bring that up to say that just like South Africa, they import from 38 different countries. And the guy was telling us this. And he was saying, you know, I need you, but I will give this because I want to have a relationship with you. And so even with your product, and because Kazakhstan is one. But there are others that really want to be able to say that they are getting certain things from America, despite even the distance of other things. They're willing to do some things. I want to use that as an example for others who may be thinking that the expense might be too much, whatever the case might be. But some goods, they want to have it from America. A lot of people are like that. They want to be able to say they got it from America. This is from America, stuff like that. And you notice that in a lot of cases it's true. The quality is, in some cases, the standards are higher in America for a lot of things than in other countries too.
Yes, absolutely. And my final question is Kazakhstan situated presently to deal with our financial institutions such as Exim Bank to facilitate export for our
yes.
We're a customer yes. Exim, so are they positioned with Exim?
I think one of the presentations and for those who are listening, we did post the presentations on our website from the Kazakhstan series. So in fact, when you go to our website, the Nations Mosque .org USC drop down for Pakistan series, and then you can go and look at stations. We try to put them out there. If it's not out there, maybe we can put up yet. But all nine of them should be out there. They're all definitely on our Facebook page, Nations Mosque Facebook page. All nine of the series are out there. But I know we have many of them posted on our website. And one of them was what I did there with the XM Bank. Yes.
Very good. That makes it easier for us.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent. You're welcome.
Brothers and sisters, we're going to introduce a couple more of our directors. But before I do, let me just share some information with you. In order to get your information to Black Belt Wall Street New Africa Business, any information that you want to send directly to the imam, you can send that information. Black Belt Wall Street, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street, NABASSC at gmail.com. NABASSC at gmail.com, or you can go to our website, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association.com. You can call us at 202-288-5660, 202-903-7278. Again, New Africa Business Association, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association.com is the website. The email, NABASSC at gmail.com. And every Wednesday, you can call in every Wednesday from 7 until 9. And for those of you who would like to participate on the radio with us, the call-in number is 57-383-1372. And let me just say, even though the imam has not been on with us for the last 8 years, the imam have always been the president of New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. So he's always been one of us. He's always been our leader. But again, like I said, the imam, and I spoke to the imam, and we have a very close relationship. But like I told the imam, I said, "Brother imam, you just the world have you. You're just international travel." But like the imam said to me, "Brother Bynum, yes, I am traveling international, but I take our business association with me as I travel." So. He's taking us wherever he go. And with that said, now I want to go out to our director out of Oklahoma. Sister Williams, are you with us?
As-salamu alaykum, brothers and sisters, and good evening to everyone.
Good evening to you as well.
Thank you. Man, I tell you, it's just so many opportunities, and Mother Africa is calling us all back home to all areas, north, east, south, and west. Of course, you know, we're still working on our project, but at the same time, I need to get with the sister there, Sister Aisha, to find out about where we are with our training, preparedness training, so that I can get back on board, and because we have catastrophes going on just everywhere. Maui, they're just all over the country. They just had this, I guess it's down to just a storm now in California. But hurricanes all of a sudden are cropping up on the West Coast. So, and now that we're preparing for the hurricane season on the East Coast, then, you know, preparedness training is probably essential for us all to either go back and get some more training on it, or go back and get some refresher on what we already know. So here in Oklahoma, we have several projects that we're working on. We're working on trying to get something for the Black Friday weekend, the one directly after Thanksgiving. And so I'll keep you guys posted on that as to what we're doing here with that event, in the event that someone would like to participate and come out here and help us out in our endeavor. But what we're doing there with the brother from, is it Karistan? This is an opportunity
Pakistan. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. But I may have a problem with the pronunciation, but at the same time, this is a wonderful, wonderful project, and I do thank them for including us. I thank them for coming and sharing the information with us and offering us as African Americans an opportunity, because this, I mean, I don't even know how it happened, but all of a sudden, it seems as if we're being embraced by our African brothers and sisters, and our brothers and sisters in Africa are being embraced by us. Now, those of us who've been here for a while know that that's a new phenomenon, a brand new phenomenon. For us here in the USA to be making agreements and arrangements and things of this nature with our brothers there and sisters there in the, on the continent, this is a beautiful venture. This is a beautiful venture for us as well as for them. So that's what I know right now, Brother Bilal, sisters and brothers of the community. I thank you for inviting me on to hear this wonderful presentation, and I look forward to being able to assist or whatever I can do to make this thing happen and go further. I'm here to do it. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, thank you, sister. Really, really appreciate you sharing that. Go ahead,
yes,
Brother Bynum.
And also, Sister Williams, share that information, continue to share that information with Oklahoma. And, of course, you're close to Tulsa, where we have a Black Belt Wall Street associations right here. So we try to bring them on board and share as much information as we can. I want to see another one of our special guests. Before I do, I want to ask, do we have anyone from the Black Farmers Association? Our mics are open. Everyone can hear us, and at this point, everyone can speak. Thank everybody for being so patient and giving everybody a chance to speak, and not trying to do it all at one time. And like I said, we still have plenty of time. So, if we have anyone from he's been in school. They had to put their nations together worldwide, and he's on the worldwide counselors of Halal, and he's a world national, international Halal inspector. He's the one who got Halal a book registered here with the here in the United States with the U.S. Department of Ag. So nationally, he's an expert in Halal, but also internationally because of his training and studies internationally. So without Brother Aziz, I'd like to introduce you and have your comments on what's happening with the Halal market. Brother Aziz. Is Brother Aziz with us? Yes, he's with the Brother Aziz. Are you with us? Can you hear us?
Yes, Brother Bilal. That's some legament. I want to thank Brother Imam Tal Sharif for bringing us, coming on and informing us about the opportunities in Kazakhstan. We're interested. What I'm interested in is finding out, you know, what are the opportunities for us there in Kazakhstan. And I was wondering if the opportunities are more for us or more for them in terms of importing and exporting. That's one of the things that I think African-Americans need to know, whether they're business people or not, the opportunities that might be there for them that Kazakhstan has to offer to us. You know, and I know they want to know what we have to offer to them as an opportunity to give us a part of the opportunities there. They want to reach out to us there. But as Brother Bilal was mentioning about the Halal, I'm in the Halal meat and poultry industry. And I'm with the World Council of Halal Certifiers. And the training that we just completed in the last week was with Indonesia and Malaysia. And it's a volume of regulations concerning food safety, cross-contamination of exporting food, the rules and regulations, and there's a volume of information there. And I've been wanting to share it with the African-American community, in particular, you know, the Muslim community, on the value of us participating in the Halal industry, because Halal meat and poultry industry, because it's got to be a concern eventually. And Brother Bilal asked me to continue to and start putting this on our programming about the Halal, because I kind of got involved in that because I've been trying for a long time to get the African-American, especially our Muslim community, involved in the Halal. And I guess I have to do just like our program with the New Africa Black Belt Business Association, continue just to put it out there. And hopefully we'll have more interest in it, because I just think people should be interested in what they eat. And if they're interested in what they eat and concerning Halal, I'm more than glad at any time to share this information with the community, African-American community, and you know, our community in particular, so that they can be, especially the young folks, that they can participate in the Halal industry, as well as we might have some opportunities in the Halal meat and poultry industry with Kazakhstan. So thank you, Brother Halal, for bringing that on. And anytime, you know, whenever you're ready for that, Brother Bilal, we'll advertise and market and tell them we're going to put a program on the Halal meat and poultry industry in particular, and not the Halal business in other areas of business, perfumes, cosmetics, you know, different things that are Halal, toothpaste, medicine. One of the companies that I participate in, they certify things like Halal cheese, Halal medicine, Halal vitamins, state, because a lot of these products, they have certain things in it that that are against the Islamic as well as the Jewish religious laws. They can't eat certain foods. So this is what the halal meat and poultry industry and the halal industry is about. So soon we'll be having some sessions on that. And Brother Imam, well, that's one of the things we'd like to know. And if the if it's Kazakhstan is interested in the halal business, we'd like to find that out too, because as African Americans, we can offer something there in that area. So thank you again for letting me share that.
Brother Imam, you want to comment?
Oh, alhamdulillah, Brother Aziz. I really appreciate hearing from you. I saw you recently, and
thank
it was
you.
A pleasure for me to see you.
Yes, yes.
Definitely hearing your voice, man, and knowing that you always stay the course. You're still dealing with the halal piece. That certainly gives us pleasure. I want to say that it's not just that Kazakhstan is looking to see what we can do for them, you know, in terms of what we bring in. They're also looking to be able to export from their country things that we can import, that we can use. And there are several things, you know. Right now, America does import several things, you know, from the country. Our percentage is low compared to some of the others, but I'm still saying I'm sure they would want to, as a country, increase what's imported. But we can look at the kind of products. A lot of the electronics is a big deal. They make some of the best electronics in the world as well. That's one of the things we do, import mechanical appliances, transportation equipment, you know, metals, chemicals, different types of chemicals. They do food stuff and beverages also they ship. So if we can, you know, we're trying to get to the point where, as a people, to help control our own destiny, you know, we could be able to maybe, for instance, say, if they have a certain product that we can import from them, and we all can buy that product from each other, distribute it within our companies, buy that product, and, of course, that would also enhance, you know, our country's economy as well by bringing those things in. And it would increase the imports from their country to our country. I'm sure, they would want to do that. So it's not just, you know, what we can, you know, in terms of business exchange to help their economy and their company to come in, you know, these kind of things will help as well. I would say because the country is at least 70% plus Muslim country, I don't think importing halal, I'm not saying they won't. I don't think that would be a big need, but it could be one of those things that they would accept. Because it's coming from us. And in fact, to be able to have halal coming from an American Muslim is a big deal. You know, American Muslims, you know, it's a possibility. But again, we haven't discussed this. Again, I know I've been in other countries that's what was said to me. Everything is halal already, you know, because again, it's majority Muslim country. But I don't know. We can ask the question. And there may be some things that we can maybe import to help the cost. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the farming situation is in terms of halal. Maybe some other types of products that are halal that we can, and not just me. I mean, it's there. Obviously, they're willing to listen. And, of course, they're looking for new markets all the time. They are growing. Again, they are new independents. They got their independence recently in the 20th century, 1991 is when they got their independence, and they're still looking for, again, like I said, new emerging markets from their own standpoint, but also and obviously they're willing to, you know, create relationships, you know, and they're willing to do that. So I think we should ask the question. I'd rather ask the question than to speak, you know, and not know. That's ask the question. Whether it be.
Yeah.
This body, I mean, you're already in international. You're already doing halal. I mean, that's, I could put one of those business. I can put that down if you wanted to meet with them. I can get the information from you and put it on the list. And then obviously we're going to have a meeting. The meeting that we have on September the 5th, we can use that to streamline some of the business. If some people are not sure, get on the list. And of course, that September 5th meeting, we can, confirm it or not, you're moving forward towards the meeting, with the meeting that we're going to have with our contact in Kazakhstan. So don't automatically self-eliminate. Don't just self-eliminate without giving yourself an opportunity. So just get on the list right now so you can get the information and be a part of the September the 5th Zoom meeting. And then we can look at it and see if you want to go forward to actual New York. Or again, if you're not ready for New York, then again, we can always arrange something. Brother Bynum is right here. We can arrange something to go to the embassy and speak with them, ambassador. I have them come out and meet with us somewhere. We can do that, too. We don't have to necessarily go to the embassy. We can have them come out to a location and meet with us as well. All we can do is with them as well, too, also. So that's not ruling anything out. If I knew it was ruled out, I'd say it, but I'm not sure. So that's the answer I'm going to give to you now, and I hope that helps.
Yes, okay. Thank you. Yes, it does.
All right. I am going to open our mics up for questioning from everyone now. But just before I do, I want to see if our brother Sam Harris, out of Florida, Brother Harris, are you with us? Okay. And I also wanted to see if we had anyone out of one of our other directors. I don't want to overlook it. Director Stone, are you with us? Okay. And with that said, then now I am going to, before I turn the show over to Sister Aisha, and she will be closing us out and being a very informative to all of us. Want to open our mics up now. Any questions, any comments anyone have? Our mics are open to everyone. Any questions, any comments, we welcome your questions or your comments, especially to email my Talib Sharif. Questions.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Brother Iman, you're more than welcome to participate and to join us, but I did want to have a statement as well, maybe a question, from Brother Aziz. Because we'll be having our meeting, Brother Imam, we're starting a chicken farm. My brother don't want me to talk too much about the chicken farm on his show. But everyone eats chicken, and I love a nice chicken leg or egg or wing, and not necessarily in that order. But we're starting a chicken farm over in the Gambia. And we're having a meeting on Saturday morning, and it'll be at noon for you guys there on the East Coast. And the brothers there in the Gambia would probably be able to utilize that information, the knowledge, with your halal training, because since we're going to be working with the youth and bringing youth here, hopefully from here in the United States and other parts of diaspora, we're going to need all kind of trainers and teachers and knowledge, because we do want our chickens to be healthy. We want our chickens be popular, and we want people to utilize our services. In fact, we're thinking about coming out with a series for children, entitled Chicken Coop, and it's going to be in three different stages, like the beginning, the little eggs, and it's going to be all things fowl, whether it's a pigeon or whether it's an emu. We're going to have the various eggs and what they look like, and the children will be able to identify the various eggs and just things about chickens. And we're going to have three different series. So we would appreciate, and we would surely invite any of you guys who would like to participate to join us on Saturday morning. And Brother Aziz, if you remember and if you have time, please join us for a few moments so you can explain to us about the halal chicken and what you were saying a few minutes ago about being international, and this may be something that can help you, and I know it will help us.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you for your time, and if you can do that for us, we'd appreciate it. As-salamu alaykum.
All right. Thank you.
Again, brothers and sisters, anyone who have any questions, any comments, we welcome your questions or comments. Our mics are open.
All right. This brother, I just wanted to say it's been so much disastrous stuff happening in there. We need to hear from our director of hazardous and, you know, hazards, you know, disaster preparation society, because it's a real need with these things hitting us hard as they're hitting us right now. And I mean, they're hitting us hard.
Yes, yes. Well, we're going to come right back. We're going to come right back with that request. But before we do, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street, this radio station costs money. And we're going to go to one of the sponsors who help pay for the radio station. And brothers and sisters, the same way one or two of our businesses are able to advertise businesses, you can do the same. But at this point, we're going to take a sponsor break, and we'll be right back.
Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body, without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our peppermint foot rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget. Vitamin Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Vitamin Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.vitaminassociatesinsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090.
And welcome back to the show. Again, we also ask you to become members of New Africa Black Belt Wall Street. You can do that by going to New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. Go on our website and go to members, join in, and please become a member. At this time, brothers and sisters, I am going to ask that you, any questions that you have for our guest, Imam Talib Sharif, the head and our leader of the historical Masjid Muhammad here in Washington, D.C. If you have any questions, our mics are open, and we welcome your questions at this time.
Thank you very much, Brother Bilal. Imam Sharif, this is Sister Aisha again. I'm very curious. I have a question. I would like to know, and perhaps you can answer this question, whether or not this relationship with Kazakhstan originated through the Department of Homeland Security, or did they reach out directly to you as a representative of the African-American community here in the U.S.?
Oh, good question, Sister Aisha. No, it was not through the agencies, through the American agencies. As I mentioned, I traveled to Kazakhstan doing international peace building and International Religious Freedom. I did some programs in the country. You know, I obviously met with the the Grand Mufti there. And, of course, I'm always, as Brother Bynum said, looking for opportunities there and seeing how they could maybe sponsor us and help us to do business with them and set up some opportunities for us. And then I come to see that we have a resource there that's been there in another part of Kazakhstan. So we connected together, and with our brother in the country already, he had created relationships on the government side, on the commerce side, and I have created relationships on the religious side. As I mentioned, it's 70% Muslim, and, of course, a Muslim from America, you know, when most people can't see how in the world a person can be a good Muslim in America, because our history, Muhammad Ali, Malcolm, because that's our community. We produce them, our community has. So that's a big deal. So the relationship is there. So it was to some degree organic, again, but not from the outside. It's internally driven.
Very good. It's always good to know that it came from the religious introduction and religious foundation. So that gives us a great deal of ease there. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome.
And are we constantly mispronouncing that name? Is it Kazakh or Kazakhstan?
Yeah, Kazakhstan.
Kazakh. Okay, thank you.
In fact, they say Kazakh. They call themselves Kazakhs. It's shortened, but it's Kazakh. Yeah, Kazakhstan.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Brother Imam, you have any comments you like to make? I am going to now turn it over to Sister Aisha. She will normally from 8 until 9, she runs the program. We have our business discussions from 7 to 8. From 8 until 9, we go into our disaster preparations and what we have to, and any kind of mitigations that we have to do as far as overcoming our disasters. So if you have any comments, we'd like to hear them. If not, then I am going to go over and let Sister Aisha share some very important information on disasters. Sister Aisha, I would like to say, though, before you get started today, just before I was listening to the news this evening, and CNN was reporting that the Panama Canal is drying up.
Yep.
And as they say, I didn't know this. I always thought it was water directly from the sea, but the waters that come through the Panama Canal is actually pumped. There's fresh water.
Yep.
And they do not have enough water for the capacity loads that the ships are bringing through. So that seems like another major disaster that we're heading towards.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Imam, again, any comments you might like to make in closing? If not, I'm going to let you take us right on to Sister Aisha.
Yes, sir. Thank you again, Brother Bynum. I appreciate the invitation to be with you. I'm glad that my time worked out and I was able to be with you all, your listening audience and the members. It's a great honor for me. I just hear a very small glimpse of the distinguished individuals that are associated with it. It certainly makes us proud, the information that we're hearing. I'm a little hurt and I'm apologetic, Sister Aisha. I didn't know I was infringing on some of your time.
No problem. It's an honor. Yeah. It's an honor for us to hear you. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Sure, yes, ma'am.
Sure.
I do want to mention the things I need, again, to be sent to Brother Bynum real quick. Again, name, company, industry, website, phone number, and email. And then he'll get that to me, hopefully before the 1st of September. I can get that to our counterparts in the country, and we can and then be able to get back with you with the Zoom link for the September. And then that'll be the prelude to the meeting with the president of the Republic of Kazakhstan. So thank you all again. It was an honor to be with you. I look forward to being with you in the future. Certainly based on many things I've heard, I want us to discuss other things that we're dealing with globally as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Information to nabassc@gmail.com. nabassc@gmail.com. So, Sister Aisha, at this point, I am going to turn it over, and you can take us into closing.
Thank you very much, Brother Bynum. And I only want to say on that Panama Canal, you know that every time we have a major disaster, it's going to ricochet throughout the world. And do you know and I have to say, in the Panama Canal, there are surrounding bodies, even though that water is pumped in there, there are surrounding bodies that are facing drought conditions. And when you have the drought conditions in the surrounding bodies, you know what happens with the earth. It always tries to compensate. It pulls water and energy from one side of the world to the other side of the world. And so we don't live in isolation or not one thing in this universe. We are all connected. Mm-hmm. And so we are not surprised that the Panama Canal does not have enough water for those vessels to be able to come through there. And so some of the vessels that are carrying the cargo are actually stopped. And this is causing a backlog because other ships are coming into the Panama Canal, mm-hmm. and the ones that are there can't get out. So it's causing a tremendous backlog. And a backlog in the ocean, this is not ocean, this is a canal, but in a body of water causes the whole area to change forms. It even affects the creatures in the ocean and how people on land depend on certain bodies of water. So one tries to compensate for the other. This is how we have to start seeing the universe that we live in. We're all connected. And, yes, it pains me to think about it. I heard about this about 2 weeks ago from a connection that I have. And I said, my, we're going to have some serious issues. And if that issue does not clear up pretty soon, many countries are going to have supply shortages. And when you have supply shortages, the financial system is affected. And I know Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz, you all understand this better than I do about the financial system. So, yes, we need to get back with the concept of preparedness, and hopefully we're going to do that very soon. I haven't gone away. I have, been working on some things, but we want the organizations, and I'm reaching out to a lot of organizations, asking them to bring their constituents, their congregation, their organization to be trained in preparedness. Preparedness does save lives. And the difference in what we're doing and what some of the federal agencies are doing, we have a different belief system. And we understand that being aware, everybody is aware to some extent of disaster and what's taking place, climate change. But it does not cause you to be able to move forward and take actions because you are aware. So we have to deal with that emotional attachment. And we have to create it for within you for this effort to save your life. And many people don't go there until they feel pain or until they feel despair. And then sometimes that's too late. So I want to just, Brother Bilal, Brother Aziz, and rest of the audience, we are going to get back to the training.
But we are not going to come back into training until we have talked to enough people and organizations and they are ready to bring their groups together. Because every time we set up a training, it taxed my people, my back-end people, my tech people. So we have to look at this a little differently. So, but we haven't gone away. We're going to start those training exercises back, and they're going to be even better than they were before. And we also moving into the e-commerce. When we tell you to have your emergency kit sitting at the door ready to evacuate on the first alert, we want you to know what that looks like. So we will be bringing that forth as well. Okay?
All right.
So thank you all very much.
Thank you, Sister Aisha.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you, September the 5th is when we will be back on, the Imam will be back on, and that's when he will continue to set up the meetings that we will be going to the United Nations to have. The Imam and I talked about it, and we're in Washington, D.C., and most of you that might be in the local areas such as Baltimore, Pennsylvania, and things of that, places of that nature, we're just simply going to jump on Metro and simply go up with the Imam and his delegation directly to the United Nations. Any information that you need as far as coming from whatever location you're coming from, again, simply send us an email, nabassc@gmail.com, or give us a call, 202-288-5660, 202-903-7278. So we thank you so very much for being in touch, being with us this evening. Brother Imam, again, and brothers and sisters, look, and as busy as the Imam is, very busy, but he has stayed with us the entire 2 hours of our program.
Absolutely. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
And like I said, he's always been with us. He's the one that encouraged me to start and continue to run the Business Association. So, Brother Imam, again, any words you want to say in closing? We have about 2 minutes. We welcome your comments, and we'll be closing out.
Okay, no, thank you. Thank you again, Brother Bynum, and the listening audience, and the team and the members. We're just honored to be with you. Look forward to being with you in the future. Certainly disappointed I wasn't able to join you much sooner, but because I see what I've been missing in the caliber of people that are here and the questions and thinking, the diversity of thinking that's taking place here. Just proud. I'm proud of Brother Bynum. Again, he stayed the course, and I'm proud of you all for staying with him, staying a part of this, and seeing the value and bringing the value into programming. And we looked to make more contributions to this. And maximize the excellence that's coming out of this, because there are a lot of things that we need to do as people. The world's attention has been brought to us. One of the sisters mentioned that right now our brothers and sisters in Africa are ready to embrace us, and she said that wasn't always the case. And it wasn't always the case because we haven't always projected the best expression of ourselves because of the hurt, the trouble, the things we've been going through here in the country. But Almighty God has blessed us to overcome all of that. And the best of our human nature has been able to emerge. The excellence is being projected now. The world is seeing that in us. They are seeing something that Almighty God has deposited in us. And that's what they want to be a part of, too. They want to embrace that. And that's what God intended for us to do, to be that light, to be able to show that he's cleaned us up. And we're in a position now to be of a great help. Like the sister said, putting up chicken farms in Gambia. I have a friend over there now has 3 businesses in Gambia. In fact, I just met a state official who's from Gambia. We're looking to do some things in Gambia as well. But I do want to be a part of that. I'll be traveling, and I won't be to make the meeting. Was that Sister Williams that made the comment about the chickens?
Yes, sir.
We're doing that chicken thing.
Yeah, I would love that meeting, but I'm interested with Sister Williams. I'm not going to make the meeting Saturday, but I am interested. I want you to know that. And so looking to hear more about that, learn more about it as well. That's on my list. I will be going to Gambia soon. I haven't gone myself.
Oh, let me know when you're going so I can get you ready. I can have you a very nice reception.
Yes, ma'am. No, we look forward to connecting with everyone here and then seeing more of the action that's coming out of this and being able to build, put up structures. That's important for us. We've been called spooks in our history because we weren't producing things. You got to have a body. Your spirit has a body that is the gift for the soul. So but you got to be, that's what, material. We got to produce things, be productive as a people, put up establishments and do things to connect with other people to show more of who we are. And the excellence of who we are by engaging in. And the best way to do that is business and economics, economic dignity. If you got that, then, of course, the political piece is going to come. They go hand in hand. And we're positioning ourselves to be more of an effect in that arena. So I'm just so proud of the programming. I'm proud of the team. And, it's an honor to be with you. I feel blessed. Thank you all again. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Walaikum as-salam.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me. With just a little bit more education and love for our nation, would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say. And how long have you had your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me. With just a little bit more education and love for our nation, would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brother? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brother?